listener-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 27th of February, Anno Domini 2016, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And at 4 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose, kick up shoes, don't get the blues. Here comes the news. Oh, yes, and Steve Ray, one step ahead of the law in the Midwest. Sadly, not with us today. But with us, I'm sure, in spirit. All right, so with more than 200 million systems running Windows 10, many of them having upgraded from an earlier version for free, Microsoft has decided it's time to monetize the lock screen. Over the past few days, Windows 10 users have reported having their lock screens taken over by advertisements for Rise of the Tomb Raider. Microsoft started selling the game through the Windows Store last month in what might be the start of a much bigger push into PC gaming. Microsoft hasn't hidden its intentions to use the Windows 10 lock screen as a commercial billboard, having first discussed its plans during last year's Build Developers Conference. Now Microsoft appears to be making good on those promises, with How To Geek's Chris Stobing and at least one Reddit user having seen the Rise of the Tomb Raider ads themselves. Fortunately, the ads are easy enough to disable. Just head to Settings, Personalization, Lock Screen, and uncheck the box that reads, Get Fun Facts, Tips, Tricks, and More on your lock screen. Keep in mind that the option to disable the ads only shows up if you have selected Picture or Slideshow under the background section of lock screen settings. If you're using Windows Spotlight, which routinely refreshes the lock screen with images from Bing, ads are presumably part of the deal. The lock screen is one of several ways that Windows 10 isn't exactly free. From start menu promotions to subscription-based games to personalized ads in Bing and the Edge browser, Microsoft has plenty of money-making hooks built into its latest OS. Most of these can be avoided or disabled, including the new lock screen promos. But with hundreds of millions of users upgrading to Windows 10 whether they intended to or not, Microsoft is banking on the notion that most people won't be so proactive. So, our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, Windows 10 lock screen has ads, and your choices are, I love them, I don't mind them, honestly, don't notice them, I hate them, and win what now? So far, win what now, of course, is in the lead, followed by honestly, don't notice them. Only 27 people have voted so far, so plenty of time to get in your vote.
Well, you knew it was coming. I mean, to sit there and develop a program, I mean, that's people, employees that they had to pay, you know, benefits and everything else, and to hand out something free?
Man, Microsoft
you don't stay in business that long.
Right, Microsoft didn't become the company it is today,
yeah.
And Bill Gates didn't become a multi-gazillionaire with an idea that people would be getting stuff for free.
Yeah.
Now, we know you'll have more to say about this, so if you scroll down on the right-hand side of the Soundbites homepage, you'll see the fascinating stuff. The forums, the second forum, is the poll discussion, and so far, at least the first thing on that poll discussion page is the 27 Feb 16 Windows 10 lock screen has ads. There are four people who have posted so far, so please join us. And then, of course, you can always give us a call. The number is 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. And, of course, if you're far away, like, say, in, I don't know, Pottstown, PA, you could give us a call at 1-800-790-0415, just like our friend Carl did. Hiya, Carl. What's up?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. How are things in Pottstown today?
Pretty good right now. I have a problem with a friend's computer. I'm trying to help him out.
Yeah, yeah, it's always a friend's computer.
Yeah, yeah.
Wink, wink.
Yeah, he has a laptop, a Dell laptop, running Windows 10. And he likes to listen to streaming audio. And the computer seems to work fine for streaming audio. The sound comes out of the built-in speakers, no problem. Problem is, when he plugs headphones in, nothing happens.
Yeah.
I checked it out, and the headphone jack looks good. Plug the headphones into something else, and they work fine. But when you plug these headphones, standard tip ring sleeve plug, into the laptop headphone jack, the built-in speakers continue to play,
yep,
and the headphones produce no sound at all. So I'm just wondering if there's something you could suggest.
Yeah, if he's got a Dell, the likelihood is that he has the Realtek audio manager.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if he has that, he has to open it up. He or she, I beg your pardon, I did not pay attention.
I think he said he.
Okay, has to open up the application, the Realtek HD Audio Manager, and disable front panel jack detection. What's happening is not only is Microsoft detecting it, but so is Realtek, and they're interfering with each other.
Okay, I'll give that a try.
Yeah, and then what should happen is that when you start it up, what I find, and this is the most annoying thing I have ever discovered in life, and I have to, first world problems, but I have to figure out how to stop it, and I don't know how to do that yet. Every time I plug in a headset, it pops up this thing that essentially says, "Are you on a headset?" Yes, I just plugged it in. Okay, whatever, but...
Well, it could be speakers.
Yeah, and that's what it says. It says on your own headset, and you pick one.
Yeah.
But
it doesn't know.
It doesn't know, I guess. All right, so I don't know why it cares.
You want too much.
I don't know why it cares.
Because it's just that warm fuzzy that they want to give you.
It certainly is warm, but I think it's warm and steamy, not warm and fuzzy. All right, anyway, thank you, Carl.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys.
Yep, bye-bye.
You're not buying that?
I am not buying that.
But that's Microsoft's,
For the one time I might actually plug in external speakers, I don't mind going and selecting something and saying, no, these are speakers. But for the 900,000 times I plug in earphones, why can't it just assume they're earphones?
Because it doesn't know how to tell the difference between just headsets versus speakers.
I should be able to say, assume it's a headset.
Yes, and that would just take it a little bit more code.
Yes, exactly. There you go. Now you're down to it. It has nothing to do with what it can and can't detect. It's what the lazy programmers decided to do or not do.
Yeah, they chose to overlook it, overlook that one and...
Or even just a little thing that says, okay, this is...
Make this my default.
Make this the default. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And they don't do that.
Yeah, because then for the folks that do hook up speakers all the time,
they can make that the default.
Mm-hmm.
It's perfectly acceptable to me one way or the other.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, however, whenever I'm hooking up headphones, I'm probably doing it through... I guess that doesn't work. The HDMI on most laptops doesn't do sound.
Yeah.
That's true, too.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I suppose, maybe, but I still don't like it. I want a default.
That's one thing that they could enter into it.
Yes.
That you know how you have the headphones or the speakers. There's different selections.
Yes.
Select one and say, make this my default.
Right.
I'm surprised it doesn't, though.
It doesn't.
Well, it's Microsoft. What do you want?
It's exactly right. It's not really a polished.
But going back to your original story to opening up, with Windows, I mean, it's scary when folks, are going to be now, it's, 2 months away?
Yeah.
Being forced to go to Windows 10.
Yep.
You're not going to have a choice. And I've had a number of folks call me on that and say, but I don't want it. Well, you know what? Go to a Chromebook.
Yep.
And I've been, pushing Chromebooks left and right because, and disconnect your other machine from the internet. If I've got one person, she mainly uses it for her embroidering. And it's an old Windows, ready for this?
Yeah.
XP machine.
Oh, yeah.
It runs great. The software for her embroidering works great. And she's happy. That's all it's got to do. Her laptop and everything else connects to the internet, good to go. And, she made the choice. And because I told her, I says, it's not going to happen. You can't make silk out of a sow's ear. I can't do anything more for it. She goes, well, if you can get it up, get it cleaned up, just so I can do this one program, I'll be happy. We did it.
Now, there's a reason to clone the hard drive.
Mm-hmm.
Because at some point, that hard drive is going to die.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, in fact, the whole machine is going to die. So cloning really isn't going to help all that much at that point. And as Steve has pointed out to you, I think that if you've got a Windows 7 system and you disconnect it from the Internet, at some point it's going to say you have to connect to the Internet to prove that you're a legitimate version.
10 to 1 ads, and I'm not promoting this or anything else, there's going to be hackers out there to be able to shut that off.
Right.
That's just going to be a fact of life. There's going to be ways you can turn that off so you can still live dangerously. Because, I mean, if you choose, you know, to continue using Windows 7 on the Internet, you are wide open. Just like my friend who is using Windows XP. If they had stayed on that, using the Internet and Windows XP, I guarantee it would have been infected within the first 2 minutes.
Yep.
Because it's just open to all kinds of spyware, malware, and everything else. Because really, when XP came out, spyware and malware were not that big of a deal. We were still into the virus stage.
Right.
Viruses and all that. But they've learned. Viruses aren't as prevalent right now. There's more spyware and malware. And the reason for that is because the developers of the spyware and malware make money off of their little programs that go in and, say, steal your email address or try to go in, and steal other personal information. From that, they can sell that information, whether it's an email list or anything else, to other people. They make money off of that.
Right.
So if they're, you know, somebody that wants to sell, you know, put ads, splash ads here and there, these underworld people can sit there and say, well, tell you what, I'll give you 2 million email addresses. Give me $75.
Yep.
If they do that, you know, enough times, they're making money. Whereas when they did viruses, it didn't do squat for them.
Yep.
They derived no money. And it's just like these others that go in there and plant in a seed, you know, and again, it's malware that tell you, oh, your machine is infected. You better call this number.
Yep.
Yada, 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 and we'll get you cleaned up. You can't do anything else. You better do this or your machine will suffer. Again, that's spyware or malware. It gets in there, it attacks your machine, and then you think, oh, and these folks, you hear them. I mean, I had one person at work, $350.
Yep.
And they got that, you know, paid that out, and they got scammed, and the machine's still infected. Hello?
I hear it from people all the time, and we can't say it enough.
Mm-hmm.
There is no legitimate company out there, not Microsoft, not Apple, not anybody, who will send you a notice like that and then tell you to call a number and charge you for it.
Yeah.
It's just, they're all scams, every single one of them.
Yep.
If you've been caught by them, you're out the money, and you may well be infected, so it's time to dance the Security Tango at securitytango.com and see if you can get your machine clean again, or bring it to someone like Dave or whoever and have them clean it for you. But the reality is that if you've fallen prey to one of those scams, then the likelihood that you're infected is about 100%.
Yeah. Now, have you tried Windows 10?
Oh, yeah, I have a machine with Windows 10.
Okay, because I'm going to try that this coming weekend. This coming week, I should say.
Yeah.
I've got one machine. I finally have the time, I think, this week to finally just say, yep, throw it on this and see what the heck happens.
Yep. I have it on Windows 10. I was going to start bringing that machine here, but...
Now, you can... sorry to interrupt you.
No.
But you can set it up to either do the panel display or the old menu display. Does it give you that option?
No, it does the regular old menu display.
The old, like, Windows 7 type of thing.
Yeah, well, what it does is it gives you the Windows 7 menu, and then next to it are some of those blocks.
Okay.
And you can rearrange the blocks. So it's a little bit of both, but it's mostly the old menu.
Okay, all right.
Which is fine.
No, like I said, that's why I'm going to play around with it and see what I can come up with.
Yep, that's a good idea. All right. I was going to start bringing that here because people have a lot of Windows 10 questions, but it hasn't happened yet. It may well be that my wife claims that machine, so I may have to buy myself another one. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with that. But who knows? Who knows? All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 18 minutes after the hour. It's the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That's right. You're listening to Sound Bites on the truly great and solely member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And at 23 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites, and we have David from Leroy, New York on the line. Welcome, David.
Thank you very much. Good morning, guys.
Good morning. Or good afternoon.
Since you're talking about viruses, I wanted to share an experience I just had a couple of days ago. I was trying to send a Gmail message, an attachment in a Gmail account, and it said that the attachment was affected. Now, I'm running a Macintosh Mini with 10.9 Mavericks on it, and frankly, I've never had a virus before. So I figured, well, you know, it's bound to happen. So I did some research and found a program called Avira from a company that's been producing antivirus software for a long time. The Mac version was free, thankfully. I ran it, downloaded it and ran it, and it found 13 different infected areas, and it cleared it.
Yeah.
It's considered by, apparently, the professionals as one of the best free antivirus software you can get for the Mac. So I was very happy about that. Very simple to use. What I'm not certain about is I'm running Windows 7 through Parallels on my Mac, and I'm not sure if the viruses came through that, or were they Mac viruses?
Well, first, you should be running antivirus on both your Mac and your Windows.
That was my question.
Places. Always, always. Macs get viruses. People don't like to hear that, but they do. They get, you know, back in the day when the Macintosh operating system was a tiny little niche thing that was not being used by a lot of people. Very few companies wrote viruses or malware for it. Now, you're an adult now. You're in with the big leagues, and you have the same issues that Windows people have. So you really need to be running those things all the time. It's also possible that some of those viruses or whatever malware you happen to have aren't Mac viruses, but are Windows viruses that you just pulled along when you downloaded something or whatever, and they can't infect your machine, but if you could pass them on to someone else. And that's one of the things that you want, just to be a good network citizen.
Yep.
You want to be running antivirus all over the place, whether or not you believe you're infected or not.
Well, thank you. That really settles that issue. One other thing connected to the virus issue, you guys have really educated me on things such as what you just said before the break about fake things wanting your information.
Mm-hmm.
I have, for the past week and a half, gotten a screen that's popped up every couple of hours, it seems, from my local internet provider.
Yeah.
Frontier. And they're saying that my modem is not secure.
Yeah, I've been getting the same thing.
What's that?
I've been getting the same thing.
Well, thank you. I called them because this thing asked for my account number and a PIN number.
Yeah,
very suspicious. I'm sorry?
Yeah, go ahead. We're just agreeing with you.
And I called them, the customer help, and they said, yes, that is from us. I have yet to actually fill it out. I just keep clicking on I want to continue surfing. I just wanted to share that with you. It just sounds suspicious to me that my modem, of all things, is not secure.
Well, indeed, there has been a problem with on any number of modems that are using old versions of a particular type of software, and they should be updating them. But I can't imagine. I guess they do. I can't imagine that they need your information to do that, though.
Well, this is the thing. Yeah, it was a Frontier, and I called two, and one, they say I got it, which I don't save. Once I fill out, you know, write out a check for a bill, right. I trash the rest of the stuff. I don't hang on to it. I got a canceled check that shows that I paid for it.
Right.
So I don't need that extra paper laying around the house. They go, well, your account number is on the top of that bill.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I got to get, because it's usually your phone number plus five extra digits.
Same right? Exact thing here, yeah.
Yeah, and then it wants a PIN number. Well, my late wife never wrote that down, so I had to call this 800 number. They gave me the PIN number through Frontier. And they give me until March 7th, I think, to fill it all out.
Mine is, I think, March the 8th, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, well, wait a minute. You know, if I don't get my bill that soon, you know, what's going to happen here? You know, it's not my fault. I don't keep that stuff. And this is the first time in all the years that I've had Frontier, and I've had this since I've been in business.
Right.
Now, all of a sudden, you're asking this after, and I've been at this location for over 12 years.
Right, right.
It's like you say, Nick, that just seems awful odd.
It's odd to me that they would just randomly do this online. It's odd to me that they need any information from you at all. They're connected to your modem.
They control it.
Yeah. They control it.
Well, they want it.
But you should, you know, I agree with you. You should always call up and say, you know, what's the story? Can I give you that information over the phone rather than trusting that
no, you got to do it.
Yeah,
that's the only way. And like he's been doing it, you know, I've been doing the same thing, going down and saying, no, not right now. Because here's the other thing. I called the local number, and he did give me supposedly my account number. So I went back upstairs, and I tried putting it in with the PIN number because I had that screen, and it said wrong. So I was like, really? So, you know, I'm just going to wait for my bill to come and see if that number's on there. You know, kind of roll the dice until
it's done.
Yeah, I mean, they have such a hard time finding out your account number if you don't save a previous copy of your bill.
That's not good business.
It's not good business.
Oh, this one guy, I'll bet you I was on the phone for over a half hour.
Right.
Poor connection on this 800 number. And then he gave me this other ludicrous number. It was a 585 and 999. Now, what? How can that be my account number? And then he hung up on me.
And he hung up on you. Nice.
Well, the connection was so bad, he couldn't hear.
Well, you're calling Frontier.
Yeah. Well, and it was an 800 number. Who knows where that's going?
Well, thank you for sharing that you're experiencing the same exact thing that I am, and that you're apparently doing the exact same that I am.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing, Dan. I didn't, you know, trust that. I called Frontier. I looked up their number, and I called them directly. I ain't, you know, one of these, I'm not doing that until I talk to a live person.
Well, in addition, you would think they would have something about it on their website.
Yes, indeed, on the front page.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I've clicked on read more about internet, and it's been since we've begun talking, and it's just sitting here not connecting. So I don't quite know what that's about.
Well, whatever the case, they need to listen to you guys and follow your advice.
Hey, Dan, if you would, let me know how you make out. If you would, just email me, dave@jazz901.org, and let me know how you go, and I'll let you know how I do, too.
All right. Thank you very much,
all right,
guys.
Dan, take care, David.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I'm...
It's been a whole... This has been a week, you know, I've been sitting there, you know, in music elevator hell. You know, because you gotta sit there and wait. And it's like, wait a minute. You got my name and number. Why can't you just quick pull up my bill? But it sounds like it takes an act of Congress to do it. And I've gotten two different answers, and neither one of them work when the screen pops up.
Yep. Well, I guess it is what it is. I guess I can't...
Brian?
I can't say anything else. I'm just going to move along. I'm just very, very excited that... That I'm on green light. That's all I have to say about that. All right, our next caller is Brian from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Brian. What's up?
Good afternoon, guys. How are y'all doing?
There we are. What can we do
just
to make you
somebody
a happier man?
Just as good as you can. Yeah, this goes back to what you were talking about before the break.
Yeah.
I got one of those magical phone calls from, we're from Microsoft, and you're, we have to check out your Windows, and we know something's wrong.
Right.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, you can't do that. Oh, yes, we can. Oh, you're not from Microsoft. Yes, we are. And I, finally, I told him the truth, a partial truth. I said, well, but I use Linux.
Yeah.
Dead silence.
Yep.
Oh, then you have no problem. Goodbye.
Yeah. Yeah, it's exactly right.
Okay, fine. That solved a lot of problems. I doubt if I'll, it gets me out of the queue for more calls, but it was fun to do anyway.
Right. Maybe it will. You know what? If they discover that, you know, you're not a Microsoft user and you're not going to ever say yes to anything they have to say, maybe they will take you off their list.
I'll let you know.
Yeah.
Now that's the upside. Now the downside.
Yeah, I knew that was coming.
I've got Linux on my laptop, so I'm trying it out to see if I can, you know, convert out of the Windows world. And so program by program, go through things we use, make sure we know that they connect through Linux and all like that.
Right.
And as you know, Nick, my wife is on an insulin pump.
Yeah.
Which has a website that she uploads to her statistics to, and they can look at it and make adjustments and yada, yada, yada.
Right.
And, of course, it's a internet-based program. So I called their number because I went online through Linux, and so we don't support that platform.
Right.
Okay. So I call up tech support, and I talked to some guy there, and I said, look, I know you don't, right now you only do Mac and Windows. Are you planning to do Linux as a Linux update? And I'm not sure where he was. It's a California-based company. Could be out there.
Right.
And I said, well, gee, you're using Linux?
There you go.
Not many people use that, you know. I said, well, a lot of people I know use it. And he said, no, we're not planning to convert that. So I'm going to have to keep at least the dual boot machine.
Yeah, right. Well, see, that's the big thing is you have to, for everybody, you have to check every program you really need. And in this case, obviously, it's a program that you must have.
Right.
And not a program you can find a substitute for. Now,
it's going to happen.
Right. Now, is this something that you actually run a program or you just go to a website?
It's a website-based thing. And it only supports Windows and Mac.
Chromebook.
Yeah. Well, no. What you may find is that unless they've got some sort of component you have to download, just because they don't support it doesn't mean it doesn't work. It's just a website.
Yeah, it won't let you connect. So your front page comes up and they sign in here.
Because of the credentials?
Right. And then you try and sign in, so we unsupported.
Yeah, you're going to have to keep a version of Windows around.
That's what I thought.
And that's a good reason to, frankly.
Yeah.
You got to have at least one good reason.
Yeah, exactly.
So we'll just leave of the three big ones that we run, mine, hers, and the laptop.
Right.
We'll keep one of them as a dual boot machine and just go over with the rest of them.
That's the way it works. There you go.
All right, gentlemen. Just thought you'd like to know the good and the bad and the ugly.
I appreciate that. I'm
Take
glad you're having fun
friend.
With Linux, too.
Yeah, I'll let you know which one's the ugly.
Yeah.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye. Oh, you know what? Brian ought to really pay attention to whether or not the software works with Windows 10.
Yeah.
Because at some point it's going to want to upgrade. So, Brian, I know you're still listening because, well, why wouldn't you be?
Yeah, he's...
So call them back and find out if their software works with Windows 10. That's going to be an issue, too.
Yeah.
That's going to be an issue.
Hmm.
I know that people had that problem going from XP to 7.
Yeah.
And there may be...
Well, that's one thing we've been telling folks. You know, I mean, first they got to get over the hurdle whether their current machine is going to be able to handle even Windows 10.
Right.
And then the second thing is all the software that you've got on there that you use, you know, third-party software, and by that I mean, say, Adobe or whatever, you know, like his programs and that, or whatever, speech program. I mean, there's hundreds of programs that we run on our computers
right.
that aren't under Windows, you know, Word or anything else, that you've got to double-check, say, like Quicken and that, and verify that it's going to work under Windows 10. We've had a number of folks... have to go backwards and go back to Windows 7 because their Windows 10 won't handle their current software.
Right.
Right. So you got to be very cautious, folks. It's just not something. All right, well, I'm going for it. It says, yeah, I can handle Windows 10. That's half, maybe half the picture. I won't even say half. There are still other variables. Your printer.
Yep.
I mean, there's been no, you know, like when.
Do the drivers work under Windows 10?
Remember when Vista came out? I mean, people were being told, well, you got to go get a printer that'll support Vista. I was like, no.
But you do have to update the drivers.
Yeah, you got to update the drivers, but I mean, Microsoft is always, you know, backwards compatible for the printers.
Yeah, it always has tried to be, at least.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, the other part of the problem is that I keep hearing from people who say, well, my machine upgraded to Windows 10, and now it's horribly slow. And what you don't want to say to their faces is, well, when you bought that machine, you cheaped out.
Yeah.
You know, frankly, you bought a slow machine with 2 gigs of RAM. It ran Windows 7 okay, but it's just not up to snuff for Windows 10. You either buy a new machine or you live with that. There's no other choice.
The Windows 7 is original, you know, from when it first came out. And the machine is like 7, 8 years old.
Right.
Yeah.
And at the time, it was a decent machine, but it wasn't a high-end machine, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a lot that you have to be aware of when you're trying to upgrade. And one of the things is the quality of your machine. As Dave said, just because you can run it doesn't mean it's going to run well. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 39 minutes after the hour. It's Sound Bites on the truly great and solely member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Mike did a good job of picking out new music for us.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we have Bubba from Brockport on the line. Hiya, Bubba. What's up?
I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. You have to go.
Hello?
Hello? Hi.
Okay. Speak to us.
How you doing? So I got a couple questions real quick, and I also have a lot of inside information from the inside about the big F around here. Having worked for them at 12.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. All right, what are your questions?
So, first of all, I have a little Dell box that we got just before Christmas, real cheap at, it was like on clearance. It was supposed to be $300, $200, hooked up to the TV. It's great. But it's got 4 gigs of RAM, and I'm wondering, should I put another 4 in? It runs Windows 10. It's a Celeron J1800 at 2.4 gigahertz. I'm trying to figure out what Intel HD graphics it has, but it doesn't give me any details beyond Intel HD graphics.
Right.
So that was originally my question. Like, would it benefit from another 4?
Not really. The problem with it is the Celeron processor.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's not a fast processor. Yeah. It's never going to be a fast processor. Adding more RAM never hurts, but I don't know that you'll get a real benefit out of it with a Celeron processor.
Okay. Yep, that was my question. So you guys are getting all heated up about Frontier. Okay.
Well, in this particular instance...
I understand why. I was on the inside at the security and secure that they're calling it now, but I was at a Tier 3 from September 2009 to June 10, and I know why you're upset.
Mm-hmm.
It's the head of the call center at 1225 Jeff.
Yeah.
That is setting these pop-ups to get more calls in because they have a backup in Texas. What day did you guys call that you had a problem?
Every day that it pops up, you know, I think this was Tuesday or Wednesday. you know, I've been trying to call, you know, and get the information. I called the 800 number. And
918-101?
I forget the number right offhand.
Yeah.
But, you know, trying to get in there because, like I say, I don't keep a copy of my bill.
Okay. What the problem with that is that tech support in Texas is the backup for 1225 Jefferson doesn't have that information. So if you end up with someone in Texas, the very first thing you ask when you call Frontier is, are you in Rochester or are you in Texas?
Mm-hmm. And can you get transferred to someone in Rochester?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh.
Absolutely.
Well, I found a local number for Rochester, and I've been calling them.
Right, but you still may get Texas, depending on the situation which kinds of calls get routed to.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you can say, I want to speak to someone from Rochester, and they'll transfer you.
Exactly.
Cool. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Good to know. Thanks, Bubba.
So nothing more I could do with this thing. What about dual boot and Linux? Like, what about Red Hat or something?
Any version of Linux runs fine on 4 gig. You're still stuck with a Celeron processor. They are slower than an i3 or an i5 or whatever, and that all has to do with the level 1 and level 2 cache and things like that. But
put it this way, I drowned the ThinkPad that I had in 2005. I had just fixed up real good, and then I drowned it, so we ran out and got this thing, and it's nice because it hooks up to the TV, all HDMI and all, but now it's like, what can I do to make it better?
Right. Well, you're pretty much stuck with the speed you're stuck with. I have an old IdeaPad.
Yeah.
With fairly much the same specifications. And I put Linux on it, and it runs fine, but again, it's not as fast as it could be, simply because you're on that Celeron processor. There's no magic.
Let me guess. All heat sink sewn in, it's probably...
Yeah.
You could never change it if you wanted, probably.
Right.
It's a laptop in a box.
You got it.
Yep. So, all right.
All right.
For the outside, I have the behemoth in my room.
There you go.
It's the gaming PC my friend put together for me for Christmas. But this little thing is good for out here, at least, just for, like, checking email on YouTube and stuff.
Right. And for that, you know, you wait an extra half a second. It's not as big a deal as it could be.
All right.
Thanks, Bubba.
Take care.
Have a good one.
Keep smiling. Yeah, the reality is that the peripheral stuff you can change, like the amount of RAM and the size of the hard drive or the speed of the hard drive, that'll help speed it up a little bit. But at heart, you're stuck with the processor you bought. And Celeron processors are slower than i3s, i5s, i7s. It's a simple facto life. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Bob from Irondequoit, New York. Hi, Bob. What's up?
Hi. Great show.
Thanks.
I have a simple question.
Questions are all simple.
An antivirus for a tablet. Looking for a free one, if possible.
What operating system? What operating?
It's a Google.
Android?
Yeah, Google Android. Yes.
Okay, there is a program called Lookout. Lookout.
Okay.
And it is a program. What it'll do every time you down, it's a security and antivirus program. It is free. You can buy a premium version, but it is free. It's easy to use. What you do is you load it. It runs in the background. Every time you download a new program, it checks it automatically before it allows it to, install and run. So it's a really nice product. It is free. It also has a couple of additional features like finding your phone and locking your phone and a couple of other things. So I would check that one out. It's called Lookout.
Okay, you get that on, like, Google Play?
Yes, exactly.
Yep. Yeah, okay. All right, that was easy and simple, quick.
There you go.
All right, thank you.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, as with everything else, as for every other device, we actually tell people you should definitely have antivirus on your iOS or Android device because there is no safe haven anymore. Chromebooks still, they haven't been broken yet, but that's a yet. And so when you buy a new device, I tell Android users, first thing you should do is put on Lookout. Absolutely, the first program you should load. Make sure you load it from the store, not from anywhere else, because that makes sure that you've got the right thing. All right, our next caller is Bert from Palmyra, New York. Welcome, Bert. What's up?
Hey, great show as always, guys.
Thank you.
Can I plug a Linux magazine, or is that not cool?
A magazine?
Yeah.
Well, for what purpose?
Because it's unique. I've never seen it before. One of my daughters gave a copy of it, bought a copy of it for me for Christmas, and it's incredible.
Sure, you can mention the name. I mean, it can't be a 20-minute plug, but if you want to mention the name, I think that's all right, I think.
Yeah, all I'd say is the name and two features of it. It's called Linux Format.
Oh, yeah?
It's monthly, and every issue comes with a DVD loaded with Linux stuff.
Yeah.
OSs, tools, all kinds of things.
Yep.
Well, there you go. Let's help to support the Linux users out there in the community.
Yep.
Yep, you can find it at linuxformat.com.
Cool.
Yep, and you can get it, actually, I used to at least get it locally at the only bookseller left in America, I think, which is Barnes & Noble.
Where my daughter got it was at Alex Baldwin's mom's favorite grocery store on Monroe
Avenue. Oh, yeah, I bet you can get it there, too. I bet you that's absolutely true.
It's just to go back for a bit, what's that news place down at downtown?
Worldwide News?
Yeah, they still
I don't
there?
Think that they're there anymore. I used to work there.
Yeah, I know. I just
100 years ago in college.
Because I used to go in there. He made me think of the PC magazines used to come out, one with a CD in it.
Yep.
Yeah,
with different tools and all that.
Yeah, yeah. Same idea. Yeah. Linux Format's been around for a very long time, and they put out new versions of Linux. They put out stuff with tools in it. It's a good magazine.
It really is, yeah.
Yeah, thanks, Bert.
Okay, look, have a good one.
You too. Back in the day before we all had high-speed internet, except in America, of course, most of us don't have high-speed internet, but that's neither here nor there. Back when we didn't have much internet, and you got your stuff from user groups, there in particular weren't a lot of user groups for Linux. And so places like Linux Format and a couple of others would have monthly editions, and part of that was a CD or a DVD. It used to be a CD, now it's a DVD, that comes with lots and lots of stuff on it. Makes the magazine a little more expensive, but well worth it if you haven't got access or don't know where to find some of the really great stuff that's out there and available. So, you know, we're lucky enough to have Lugor, the Linux Users Group of Rochester, in town, but a lot of places don't have that. Is this
Manny?
Manny! Welcome, nope. Manny. What can we do for you?
Hello, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm having a problem with my mother-in-law's Gmail.
Okay.
Can't get into it.
Okay. Can she?
No.
Okay.
No. I'm helping her out with this.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. So she forgot the password, essentially, is where that is?
Well, she created it back in April, and she set it up as only, all she had to do was hit Internet Explorer.
Yeah.
And go to the top where her toolbar is and just click on her email and it would automatically load. And it's not doing that right now. It's going, when she does that now, it goes right to welcome to Gmail.
Okay. What you want to do is she can go to google.com/accounts/recovery.
Ah, okay.
And essentially follow the bouncing prompts. It'll ask you if you're having trouble, why you're having trouble signing in, and then lead you from there to whatever they need to do. And that's probably the fastest way to get it back.
Okay. The only thing is when I get up to the toolbar, she has two emails in her name. Two same. The both of them were created on the same day. I don't know why there's two of them up on her toolbar. Will that do anything?
Well, you put in one or the other.
Yeah.
And then you go through it again and do the other one.
Okay, it doesn't matter if it's recognized as two existing ones. It might.
Are they different? I've got five or six of them. They don't care.
Yeah, but
they don't care. Okay.
What I was going to say is it the same exact one that's on the toolbar. Both the names are exactly the same.
Exactly the same.
Then they just got duplicated up there.
Oh yeah, it's just a duplicate on the toolbar.
You can delete one of them.
Okay. Will it hurt anything if I just delete it?
No.
No.
No. Okay. Oh. All right. Yeah. Sounds great.
All right.
Thank you so much. You guys are great.
Thanks. Have fun.
You too.
Yeah, one of the things that Google is pretty good at is providing that recovery feature.
Yeah.
For those of you out there using Gmail, one of the things you should do is make two-factor authentication, because that also helps. If you forget your password, one of the things they'll say is, do you have two-factor authentication turned on? And if you do, they can send a code to your phone as a text message, which you would then enter in, and then it say, okay, that's you, and you can create your password, put a new password. So the beauty of that is that two-factor authentication makes it easy to do stuff. All right, we won't look at this now. We'll look at this after the break. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, we'll take a look at that. You know, we can go into that a little bit more because, matter of fact, I've been trying to encourage folks more and more to use Google. Especially for backing up. I mean, so much of it, you know, let alone on our phones, on your computer. You can sit there and use the Google Photos and the Google Docs and just back everything up to the cloud. Folks go, well, I don't know if that's safe. Well, if you're not doing any backups now or you're not doing it religiously, you know, it's encrypted.
Right.
You know, and they're not going to sell the information. So, you know what? Get over it.
Right. All right, this music tells me that you've wasted an hour of your life with this nonsense. But you're going to get a chance to do it again. So if you're on the line, stay on the line. We'll get to you after the break. We're going to take a slightly longer break, but we'll be back with a whole other hour of the longest running computer show in the known universe. It's Dave Enright. It's Nick Francesco. It's you. It is Soundbites on the truly great, and pay attention to this part, solely member-supported Jazz 90.1. So stay tuned. We'll see you on the other side with a whole lot more of this nonsense.
It's America's longest running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District, Jazz 90.1.
Streaming online at jazz901.org.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And at 4 minutes after the hour, no Steve Ray. He's one step ahead of the law somewhere in the Midwest.
He is listening, though.
He is listening. He's actually he's working today. So if you're out that way, stop into the shop and tell him you miss his dulcet tones on the air. But we're talking to Roger right now from Greece, New York. Hi, Roger. What's up?
Hi. Thank you for taking the call.
Sure.
Thursday night, I was working on the web, and I'm not sure what I did, but I lost Firefox. And I use Firefox as my browser. When I try and open it, or any program with one exception, I get a message, your Firefox profile cannot be loaded. It may be missing or inaccessible. And I did run McAfee virus scan today, and it says no viruses. Can you help me?
Okay, so what that generally means, is that in some way Firefox crashed when you were running it, and it left the profile open. And so Firefox thinks it can't do anything. So one of a couple of things happened. It may have been it could have been removed. If that's true, you could always create a new profile.
Let me just interrupt you one second. One more thing. I have tried downloading Firefox again, and I get to the same point. After it downloads, I get the Firefox profile cannot be loaded.
All right. One question I'm going to interject here. Have you run the super anti-spyware and malware programs?
No, I can't seem to. I can't run anything.
Okay. All right. Any programs at all?
Well, I can run programs on the in my computer, mm-hmm. and I can get to one website, my insurance company's website. I can get to, but that's the only thing.
And you're getting to that through Firefox?
I'm sorry?
And you're getting to that through Firefox?
Well, I would have said so, although I've got that as an icon down on the bottom, toolbar on my screen.
All right, that may not
all
be
right.
Firefox.
Here's one question. What version of Windows are you running?
8.
Hmm. Yeah. I believe to get Windows 8 into safe mode is holding down the control key and hitting F8. You keep hold down the control key and you keep hitting F8 to get it in safe mode.
Okay.
And you get safe mode with networking. So what you can do is with safe mode and networking, it's just like all the other versions of Windows. It's a plain vanilla version. Not much gets loaded. And you can then run the malware bytes and super anti-spyware and will go to the internet and connect and get the latest updates for the program, and run those two programs to have it scan your machine.
Okay, I can get to the internet
if you load it with just plain vanilla.
Yeah, in the safe mode, I can get to the internet.
One of the options is safe mode with networking. Safe mode with networking. Again, yep. We'll let you get to the internet, so you can go ahead and start super anti-spyware. It will say, check for updates. You can have it do that run, and then the same way with malware bytes.
Okay, say the spyware full name again.
Super anti-spyware.
Anti-spyware.
And malware bytes. Those are two programs you should have on your machine.
Okay.
You might also try this. Open up, say, the Windows. Hold down the... first, make sure Firefox is closed. Hold down the Windows key plus R. I'll put all this on our website, but you hold the Windows key plus R, which opens the run box. You then type %appdata%\Mozilla\Firefox. Click OK, hit enter, click OK. You'll find a file called profile.ini. Delete that, run Firefox, it should start up again. You will have lost your bookmarks, I think. You lose your bookmarks, but you can then start Firefox again.
Okay, and what is your website?
It's soundbytes.org.
Okay.
That's bytes with a Y.
Yep.
So I'll add that probably at the next break because I'm talking and typing. And
sure.
Yeah, and like I said, you can also download the Super Anti-Spyware and Malware Bytes, and you can get those through at our website also, securitytango.com, and download Super Anti-Spyware and Malware Bytes also. Even if you use Internet Explorer, get them down there on your machine installed, and then, if you don't have much success updating it. Although, if you're using Internet Explorer, you should be able to download it.
I tried to open Internet Explorer, and it seemed to hang up also.
Yeah, see, I think you're going to have to... Do you have another computer in the house?
I do.
What I would do is, if you can, download those programs, say, to your desktop, copy them to a flash drive.
Uh-huh.
Take that flash drive over to this machine, install them there from that flash drive. If you got internet access, it should allow you to do that. You're not opening the browser. It'll just connect to the internet.
Right.
So go to the other machine, download the two apps, put them on the flash drive, bring them over, install them both, and run them both before you do anything else.
Okay.
Because you might have some other spyware or malware that's trying to get in there, and maybe it didn't successfully get in all the way, and, you know, it's kind of hanging things up for you right now. It's since both browsers are mucked up.
Okay.
Yeah. So I would think you've got some type of spyware or malware in there.
All right. Very good.
All right.
Well, thank you very much.
You're quite welcome.
Good day.
Have a good one.
Yep. I'm almost... There we are. Now I've added it. I've added that to the front page, so it should be there in just a moment. And indeed, there it is. Very nice. And so you should be able to follow those things. But do what Dave said first, because if you're having the same problem with everything, that's a different issue. All right, our next caller is Lynn from Clymer, New York. Hiya, Lynn. What's up?
Many things. Anyway, haven't called in a while.
I
have a few questions. On one of my machines, I am running Thunderbird.
Yep.
And I have a lot of emails stored in that. I'm wondering, on that machine, that's a Windows 7 machine, before that gets crapped up by getting changed over and maybe lose a Thunderbird or part of it or whatever... can I take another hard drive or a big thumb drive and just move that whole thing right off from that drive onto that different drive?
Yes, you can. Knowing where it is, of course, is the trick, as always. Generally,
that's why I called you.
Yeah.
You're the software guy.
Yeah, that's exactly right. All right, Thunderbird stores its everything in a profile folder. So, again, what version of Windows are you running?
7.
Oh, okay, that's actually semi-easy. If you go into the search box,
mm-hmm.
And type in %appdata%,
Okay.
There should be a menu that pops up, and you should be able to select roaming. You should be able to go into Thunderbird, and then profiles, and then each of the folders under that would be a profile on your computer. You probably only have one.
Okay.
If you want to get to it directly, it's on the C drive under users. Under whatever your Windows name is, app data, roaming, Thunderbird, profiles. Those are all subdirectory names.
Uh-huh.
So it's users, whatever your Windows username is, app data, roaming, Thunderbird, profiles. And then, obviously, whatever the profile name itself is.
Mm-hmm.
Then
send to, or is it? Can I just drag it over?
Well, once you see that there, it's make sure Thunderbird is shut down.
Okay.
When you do this.
Yep.
But you can then pull that whole, go in and make sure that you've got the right one. You should see just a bucket load of stuff. One of the things that you should be able to do is to just grab it and drag it to the thumb drive. Now, before you do that, make sure you've got enough space on that thumb drive. If you've got years and years of mail, that's going to be ginormous. So be careful.
I got a 128 gig that I'm not using. I'm sure it's not that much.
Well, then you should be okay.
I should say I can clean it off because all it's got is copies of music on it. So I can just delete what's on it, and because I got them stored on another computer, and I can put it right back. So
there you go. So yeah, go for it. That should do it, and you should be able to do that without any trouble, really.
Okay, I may do it that way, or I may get another small hard drive.
Yeah, that would do it too.
I could leave it right on, and it'd be plenty fast enough. Because I think both of my machines, I think I'm going to put SSD in them because they're they're getting slow to boot. And that would, they're both i7 computers, so put an SSD on them and then a second drive for storage and maybe a third one for the email.
Well, there you go. That certainly would do it. Make sure you do good backups, though, but both before you put in an SSD card and from then on.
Okay. Next question. I'm going to have to download this to go through all of that because it's going to take you a few times listening to that to digest it.
No, I get that. I do.
Anyway, Second Life.
Yeah.
Since last fall, I have not been able to find you. Where the heck did you guys go on there?
We're now on my land, so what you want to do is, for those of you who don't know, we're in Second Life every Sunday night for, at 9 o'clock, which is 6 o'clock Linden time. We're there from 9 to 10. So if you want to join us, just look for me. My name is Neil Infinity, N-I-H-I-L Infinity. Send me a message, and I will teleport you over at 9 o'clock.
And I apologize. I'm usually not there because that's my bedtime. Because I have to get
Game's
up.
Old.
I have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go to work.
Oh, wham, wham, wham.
Hey, yeah. I'm older than dirt, and I invented it.
Until you get just a little bit older, and you may be, whether you're going to work or not, you may be getting up at that time of morning.
Yeah, okay, exactly right. Yeah,
I've learned that the last 2-3 years, 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. Get up, might as well. You're going to sleep anyway.
With all due respect to Folgers, the best thing about getting up is going back to bed after you pee.
Well, no, that wasn't really what I was talking about. I got a bad back, and it wakes me up. Before I can take any pills, I refuse to take them until I eat something. So I fix them oatmeal, and then I eat them, and then I can lay down on the sofa and get a little bit more sleep. But
go ahead, send me a...
midnight.
Yeah. Send me a message. I'm usually there, but within a minute or two at 9 o'clock. So, send me a message and I'll teleport you over and then you can make a, what do they call it? You can bookmark it, whatever they call that.
I know what you mean.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. We'll see you Sunday night then.
Well, maybe.
Yeah, right. Bye bye. Yeah, there's just, we're in Second Life. We're having fun. It's a cool thing. I have a news article that I should read. Oh, we got something. Yeah, let me quickly read this news article because you're going to love it. Last year, Google introduced a voice typing feature for the desktop web version of Google Docs that allowed users to dictate their documents. It's now getting upgraded to let people control formatting with voice commands as well. Using voice commands, people can select and format text all without having to touch the keyboard. This is great news for people who already use that feature to transcribe their words. Google says the accuracy is improved by the work it's already done with voice recognition and other applications. Now, that same technology is making it possible to do things like align text, remove formatting, do bullets, change heading styles, bold, italics, etc., etc. Right now, the feature is only available through Google Docs when using Google's Chrome browser on a desktop, but looking to the future, this feature could be a major boost to Docs editing capabilities on mobile. One of the biggest issues with writing a long document on a mobile device is that the keyboards on smartphones and tablets are usually awkward for extended use. Right now, people can use the system keyboards on iOS and Android to do dictation, but they don't have support for the voice commands, for the formatting commands. What's more, this feature has implications for accessibility in Google Docs. Using these tools, people who have a limited use of a keyboard will be able to talk to their computer and create documents more easily without using their hands. Google competes with several other players in the productivity application market, notably Microsoft, and a powerful voice typing feature in Docs could help Google attract new users. And I suspect we'll be showing that off at this week's Rochester Google's meeting. It's the first Thursday of every month at 7 p.m. at St. John's Meadow in the Briarwood Building. Going to take a fast break. Be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Nina Francesco, and you 20 minutes after the hour. Soundbites, member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites, and we have Mark from Greece, New York on the line. Hiya, Mark. What's up?
Hello again. Just wanted to remind you guys, that gentleman that was talking about Thunderbird.
Yeah.
there's a real simple way to back that up, even simpler than that. Get Moz back up and run that, and it'll back up your profile. It'll back up your passwords. It'll back up your history. It'll back up whatever you tell it to. And you use the same program to put everything back in if you need to. It's simple and easy, and it'll back up your Thunderbird. It'll back up your Firefox.
Firefox, yeah.
It'll back up the cookies if you want. It'll back up, you know. It backs up everything that's in there in your profile folder, and you don't have to go digging for it.
Interesting. It's I personally don't know the product, but it certainly seems to back up every Mozilla thing there is. It's called Moz Backup, M-O-Z Backup. Moz short for Mozilla, who makes Thunderbird and Firefox and all of those. And again, I will put that on.
You've heard it on Soundbites.
On Soundbites, I will put that on the website. It's called Moz Backup. Again, I've not used it myself, so I don't know. But
it even works with SeaMonkey if you use SeaMonkey.
Right, and not a lot of people do, but
yeah.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Moz Backup, and I'll just put that on here, publish it. So it should be there right now, and that should be easy enough for everybody to use. All right, so that's there. Great radio right there for that minute. That was terrific stuff. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Larry from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Larry. What's up?
Good afternoon, guys. I'm back again.
Uh-oh. Hey,
next caller. I just got my MacBook Pro up and going, finally.
Good for you.
And
thanks for calling.
I started loading mail on it day before yesterday, and I couldn't get it going. It wanted to go to iCloud or something like that. And so last night or night before last, after searching the web, I found a blog, and they said somebody wrote in with essentially the same problem. And what they said is when you go into preferences, delete iCloud or something like that. So I signed out, and it said you're going to lose some information. Fine. I deleted it. I followed the instructions from the blog site. Sure enough, I was able to get my Roadrunner account loaded.
Nice.
It comes up, though, on my Big Mac in the office. It says that my Roadrunner account is a POP, account type POP.
Yep.
However, on my laptop, it still says that it is IMAP. I don't understand the difference, and I'm wondering if I'm going to have a problem, because this morning I'm looking at my mail, and the Roadrunner account on my iMac is downloading new mail. My Roadrunner account on the MacBook is still stuck at 225 messages from yesterday, and I thought that both machines should still download mail, you know, kind of separately. I guess I don't know if I'm saying that
right. Here's the deal. POP accounts, POP, Post Office Protocol, POP 3.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is that protocol downloads the email from the server onto your computer and erases it from the server.
Oh.
IMAP leaves it on the server. So that if you look at it from two or three or four or ten different computers, you see the same email on each.
Oh. Okay, well, right now I'm not.
Right. So what you have to do is decide which of those two you actually want. Then decide which one. Well, once you've decided which one you want, then you can set it up to do that. And the reason I'm talking slow is because, again, I am trying to copy the information from Time Warner. Setting up this would be easier for POP or IMAP. And so I've just put the connection there. It is now up on the website.
Okay.
And then you pick whether you want it to be POP or IMAP. Personally, frankly, I suggest IMAP.
Okay. I've been POP ever since I installed IMAC a couple of years ago now, and so I was just under the impression that I would leave this the same way. So when I got it able to install, it shows up as POP. But in fact, on the account type, it just say IMAP. So I guess I need to try to figure out again from your link how to do that, so that I have the same mail on both machines.
If you want the same mail on both machines, you want them to both be IMAP.
Oh, okay.
Because what will happen is if one is POP, then it will download all the mail onto your machine and delete it from the server. So when you go to the other machine to look at it, it will not be there. So that's why you want IMAP.
Okay. So that means the MacBook then is okay, most likely.
Right.
Leave it there. But I'm going to have to go into the big machine and change that to an IMAP also.
You got it.
Got it. Thank you, guys.
All right, hold on a minute, Larry.
Oh, okay.
All right, it says, or delete the POP account and make the new IMAP account. Then the computer will sync mail between them through the server.
Right, that's essentially what we're telling you.
The IMAP Roadrunner does not support IMAP, but Time Warner does.
Right, so you have to
be Steve Ray.
No, okay, just say that again. Roadrunner doesn't support IMAP, but Time Warner does.
Correct.
But I get Roadrunner through Time Warner. Now, I guess...
Right. It depends on which server you're on. If you go to mail.roadrunner.com, it's POP. If you go to mail.twc.com, it's IMAP. Say mail, just where you get it. And in fact, the link that I just posted on the Soundbites website explains all of that fairly nicely.
Okay. Well, guys, thank you. As usual, you're a lifesaver. I'm going to go see if I can digest this now and then get both of these machines on the same page.
There you go.
Okay. Thank you for your help again.
Yep. Yeah, this is something that has been an issue for a while. A lot of places did POP mainly because they just didn't have a lot of space on their servers for people's email. Nowadays, with hard drives being so cheap and et cetera, keeping people's email is not as big a deal. So they've all moved to, most of them have moved to IMAP, but it means that some people are still on POP, some people are still on IMAP. If you only have one machine, and you don't mind being your machine being the only place you'll ever see your email, and if your machine dies, your email's gone forever, then POP 3 is fine. But if you want to be able to see the same mail on multiple devices, like your phone, your tablet, and your computer, and or you just don't want to be the sole holder of your email, then IMAP is the better choice. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Ted from Fairport, New York. Welcome, Ted. What's up?
I just upgraded to Windows 10 Pro, and I can't set the screen resolution on my monitor. It only has one default. It won't let me pick any other one. Is that just a driver issue?
That is likely to be a driver issue, yes. The problem with Windows 10 is that many things work exactly the way they did before. Some things require new drivers. So the best thing to do at this point is to check, is this a laptop or a desktop?
It's a desktop, and it's running with Intel HD graphic control panel, and it says it's got the latest driver. I actually went to the Intel site, and they had this little utility you could run to check your hardware and download the proper driver. I downloaded it, and it was actually an older driver. So I said, well, let me try the older one to see if that works any better. Mm-hmm. I tried it. It didn't work any better, and then I went back to the newer one with a Windows update.
Well, that's very interesting. So on Windows 10,
mm-hmm.
you're on Windows
10 Pro, if it matters.
Right. And it's an Intel HD graphics?
Yes.
And the problem is it's running at a lower resolution than it used to.
It's actually running a higher resolution than I wanted to run. It's at 1024 by 786, and I want it to be 800 by 600. And when I had XP running on this machine, it ran at that resolution no problem. But it won't. That's the only resolution it gives me. It won't. There's no other choice. It's 1024 by 786.
Huh. Wow, that's the exact opposite of what I thought it would be.
Yeah. Yeah, because usually it always goes lower.
Yeah. Microsoft, are you running 64-bit or 32-bit?
64.
Okay. Intel does have an HD graphics driver for that. Is that the one that you download from Intel's graphics site?
From the Intel website, yes. They have a little utility, and you install it on your computer, and it actually checks your hardware, and it tells you what driver you need to download. So I downloaded the one they recommended, and it said it was an old one. When I went to install it, it said the one that's installed is a newer version. And I said, well, let me try the older one. Maybe it'll work better. I installed the older one, same exact problem. So then I went to Windows Update, and it said there's a newer driver for your HD graphics. So I downloaded that again and installed it, and again, same problem, same resolution.
Okay, do you have that file where you can take a look at it?
Which file?
The file you downloaded for the one that includes the drivers. Here's why I'm asking. The latest one I see on their website is win64_153338.exe.
Actually, it's not in my download thing. It all happened through the utility.
Yeah.
So, it upgraded my wireless driver, my Bluetooth driver, and the HD driver, or the graphics driver. It did all of them.
Hmm. Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to post this, take a look at it,
okay,
and see if, in fact, that works. But again, what you can do is take a look at that upgrade and decide if it's newer or older than the one you currently have. It's got the whole name and version number on it. So I just hit publish, take a minute for it to show up, and then you should be able to download that and do what you need to do.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, good luck.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Sorry this is making me slower even than I normally am. I'm trying to do two things at once. I don't talk and type. Say one thing and type something different. It's a little much.
Yeah,
it's a little much. But I'm getting it to work. So, and let me just remind you that again, Sunday nights at 9 o'clock we'll be in Second Life. Look for Neil Infinity. NIHIL Infinity is my name, and ask for a teleport. I'll bring you over. I may need to add more chairs. That would be cool. In addition, don't forget the first Thursday of every month, that's this coming Thursday, is the Rochester Googles group. We meet at St. John's Meadow in the Briarwood Building at 7 o'clock, and everybody is welcome this week. One of the things I suspect we'll be talking about is Google's new addition to voice typing, which is voice formatting. So it should be pretty cool.
Yeah, it'd be cool to see. Now, like you say, as we were talking, you know, offline during the break, how far that's come.
Well, it's just huge.
You know, I mean, and Google just, you know, and handing it out there for free.
Well, Google did a really, really smart thing. They have this thing called Google Voice, where you can, with your phone, you can have, use it as a voicemail thing.
Mm-hmm.
And what it will do is it will create a transcript from that voicemail. And from the very beginning, they've been saying, if you'd like to help us, correct the transcript.
Yep.
And millions of people made voicemails, and millions of other people corrected them. So you have this huge user base that Google is using as its sampling, and so it's amazingly accurate. In addition, It's not just accurate, but it's also fast and pretty nice. So if you want to join us, like I said, 7 o'clock this Thursday at St. John's Meadow, Briarwood Building, we'll be there having fun. Meanwhile, we're going to take a quick break. Back with Dave Enright, Nina Francesco, and you. It's 39 minutes after the hour. You're listening to Sound Bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And at 43 minutes after the hour, sorry, 44 minutes after the hour, it's Steve from Greece on the line. Welcome, Steve. What's up?
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen. I have two questions, if you can handle them.
Go
Otherwise,
for it.
I'm okay. I decided to finally to do my upgrade to Windows 10. I figured I probably got most everything fixed by now. But when I went to download it, I get, it flashes too fast for me to read. I've been able to get downloading Windows, and then it's gone. It's not downloading anything.
Or it already downloaded it.
Mm-hmm.
Because don't forget, Windows 7 and Windows 8 both have, Microsoft has changed them to download it in the background, whether you were ready or not.
Okay, where would that be then?
It doesn't matter. All you have to do is say start the upgrade.
Well, okay, I tried that. That was the other one. And it did the same type of thing where I got a quick flash and then nothing happened.
Well, that's
new. Special.
You're talking about upgrade now?
Yeah.
I just did it again. It can't read much because it's a flashcard. But it basically says starting install, and that's as much as I can read before it's gone.
All right. Have you tried... so you update that. Have you... Try this. In the Windows Update, under Settings,
okay.
Change PC Settings,
okay.
Then Update and Recovery. You can choose how updates get installed. And you can see a number of things there. Give me recommended updates the same way I receive important updates. Give me updates for other Microsoft products, blah, 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 blah. Make sure that's all set to do those things and to give you the stuff you need.
I do have it set up for manual right now.
Change it to automatic and let Windows do its thing.
Okay.
It may take a couple of days now for Microsoft to get around to you,
right?
Frankly, but let it be automatic and let it do its thing.
Okay, we can give that a shot.
You know, make sure you've got all your good backups, blah 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 blah. But let Microsoft do its thing automatically.
Okay, you actually just gave me a third question, and you can handle this one if you'd like to. You always say to test your backup, test your backup, test your backup.
Yeah.
But if your backup doesn't work, you've just screwed up your system, right?
Well, you test your backup by installing,
selecting.
Take one file back. Bring back one file.
Yeah. Not the whole thing.
Well, that's what I presumed when you say test your backup.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
No. Yeah, yeah, no, not the whole thing. You find, you take one file, particularly something you don't really care about.
A document.
Yeah, a document that you could recreate if you needed to, or have another backup of that document somewhere else, and then do a restore of that individual document.
Yep, okay.
Just create a, what some folks have done is created a dummy file, you know, just call it a backup test file. And they go ahead and create it, let it back up, then delete it. And then they can go back to their backup routine and go into their documents and look for that file and tell it to restore it.
Yep, I understand. I misunderstood the...
No, that's just for the other folks out there. Just kind of walk them through it also.
Yep. So let me... I got an email from a friend of mine. He works. He's working right now, so he can't call you.
Yeah.
I only have the information he included in his email, so if you can't do anything, that's fine.
Right.
So he is running a... Windows 10 update from Windows 7 on a laptop.
Mm-hmm.
I started the computer. It took a while to boot, suggesting to me it was trying to self-repair as it booted. Okay. Sorry. Twice in a row now. He goes to Barnes & Noble, and he's got a Wi-Fi at home. Twice in a row now. I had to force a shutdown on the computer. It shuts down, but not all the way. The hard drive light and internet lights stay on. Monday night, I clicked on the start, hit power, and clicked for shutdown, but it basically just gave me the hard drive light and the internet light stayed on. Last night, I couldn't get that far. The taskbar froze. No taskbar lock was on. None of the icons worked, nor would the start menu, nor would the keyboard shortcut to Control-Alt-Delete was the only way to shut it down. Any idea of why he is not shutting down properly and why it's... I mean, I understand you got so little...
There's a couple of things that it's possible that could be wrong. One is he could be infected, and the virus, the malware in the background, wants to keep running and isn't allowing the system to shut down. So I would definitely dance the security tango for that. The other thing is to check in his power options through his settings to see how his system handles a shutdown command. Because one of the things you can do with a shutdown command is say, hibernate, or ignore it, or just turn off the screen. So if, for example, he's got it set for power and sleep settings to just turn off the screen, I would suspect, I would see the behavior that he's seeing, which is everything else stays on.
That used to be my laptop. I ended up selling it to him when I got a new one. So I know that power is supposed to actually shut it, or shutdown is supposed to shut it down, but...
Yeah, but he's done an upgrade to Windows 10.
Correct.
And it was out of your hands for more than 8 seconds.
Yes, it is. Thank you.
So I would have him check those things.
All right. Thank you very much. And if this doesn't work, I'll try to get another email with more information.
Yeah, perfect.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yep.
So this is something we've done before. We'll do it again. It's third person tech support.
We don't know always the full story.
Right.
But we do our best.
And again, this is part of the Windows 10 update problem. Just a lot of things that can change. And one of the issues, of course, is there's about 100 billion different types of computers out there, and
combinations
all set up in a billion different ways,
and all different types of hardware. And I mean, it's unbelievable.
Right. There does come a point where it might behoove Steve's friend to actually have someone who knows what they're doing look at the computer.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing a lot of these problems. Steve, clearly a guy who knows what he's doing. Clearly a guy who reads and writes down the error messages when he has the chance.
An error message came up. What was it? I don't know.
Right. We can't help you if we don't know the error message. But we do see that the Windows 10 upgrades many of them go very, very smoothly. Very smoothly. Some do not. Or some have a delayed effect. In particular, if you've got a driver that isn't right. Let's say it's a printer driver. You don't print for the first 2 or 3 days.
Right.
Everything seems to be running fine. Then you go to print. You can't print. But the reason is that there was an issue with the print driver when you did the install, so it may not come out. One thing that, as a system administrator, we always did, and you should well as well, because let's face it, you are the systems administrator for your computer. Write down everything you do with that computer. And I mean everything.
Mm-hmm.
I run email. I go to websites. I do Skype. I, you know, whatever. What I do, you know, my video camera. I print. Yep. I scan. Whatever it might be. Make a list of those things. And when you make a significant change to your computer, like, say, Windows 10.
Major.
Go through the checklist and try everything. You may find you have to upgrade some drivers somewhere, but it's better to do it all at once when you're right there, when you're thinking of it, when you're making it happen, than to say, oh, yeah, I'll call you in a minute, Mom.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get on Skype in a minute, and then it's 20 minutes later before you say, well, I had to go and download a driver and install it, and it was a pain in the neck, and blah, 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 blah. So what you want to do is make sure that you can... write down everything that you do with your computer. Test everything once you've got it done so that you can say, yes, this machine truly is completely upgraded. The thing from about upgrading to Windows 10 is that there will be pain. Life is pain, princess. Anybody who says different is selling you something. So you'll find that having those... checklists. I'm a big fan of checklists. I'm a big fan of something called a site book, S-I-T-E book. And that's just a list of checklists on what your machine does and how it does it and why it does it. And those things can save you a lot of time during an upgrade, a lot of time, during problems. And I suggest using them regularly. All right. That music tells me that, we're done. 2 hours of frivolity is now over. I want to thank every single one of you who called in. I want to apologize to those to whom we did not get. Please, call earlier next week. It's we can't do magic. But don't go away, because George is here to play the best German music you'll hear all week. Michael is here to keep him on the straight and narrow. And we'll be back in just 166 hours with Dave Enright, probably Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 55 minutes after the hour. You've been listening to the longest-running computer show in the entire whole universe, and probably other universes as well, Soundbites on the truly great and solely member-supported Jazz 90.1. We will see you in 166 hours. Have a truly amazing week. Bye-bye.